Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Continuing our series of interviews with party leaders ahead of next month's Northern Ireland Assembly elections, and we're joined on the line now by Michelle O'Neill, Vice President of Sinn Féin and Deputy First Minister in the last Stormont Executive. And Michelle, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. Can I ask you, your party has sat in government on and off for almost 24 years now and held the joint office of First and Deputy First Minister since 2007. Do you stand over Sinn Féin's record in government over many years?
Well, good evening, Sarah, and pleasure to be on the programme this evening. Yes, I think we can very ably stand over our track record. There's been significant achievements throughout that whole period that we can point to. Very progressive legislation has been passed, certainly in my time in office in the last 2 years. I have to say that the work that was achieved by working together with other parties to deliver on crucially important pieces of legislation, you know, improving autism services, integrated education legislation, free period products in public buildings. You know, there was a lot of climate change legislation. Lots of really, really significant pieces of legislation were delivered over the course of the last 2 years. And obviously, I want to be able to return after this election and deliver much, much more.
There has been lots of problems, though, as well, hasn't there, for Northern Ireland? I was just looking at, you know, the state of the health system, the education system, the welfare system. Yeah, a report in 2020 by the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission, and it found that more than a quarter of the UK's recent homeless deaths at that time had happened in Northern Ireland. A quarter of the UK's homeless deaths had happened in Northern Ireland. 205 homeless people died in that period, over an 18-month period in Northern Ireland. And then last year there were figures which released showing 184,000 people in Northern Ireland were waiting more than a year for a first hospital outpatient appointment, the worst waiting list in the UK. You held the position of Health Minister for a while. Do you take responsibility for the failings as well as the achievements?
So I think you have, an underlying problem that we have in the North, in that we don't have fiscal powers in order to raise our own finances to do things that we'd want to do. Also, we've been impacted severely since the Tories came into power, and their austerity agenda has meant that our health service was stripped out of funding. So over decades. So I think the problem that we have, the underlying problem we have, is that our health system needs to be fixed. It needs to be transformed. And I was actually the minister who actually brought forward a programme to actually transform the health service and actually get cross-party support to actually fix things. So we were just starting that work whenever, obviously, the pandemic came, and that exacerbated even a problem that was already there in the system. So there's certainly work to do, but this election, I think, is an opportunity for people to have their say and to vote for change. And I think much change is needed, and that includes in our health service, but it also across, you know, many, many other areas that people are looking towards political leadership, particularly trying to get us through the cost of living crisis, trying to deal with transforming the health service, trying to deal with education, creating better jobs, all the things that the public obviously are worried about whenever it comes to making their own decisions about their own future. So there's much to do, Sarah, but that's why I'm seeking a larger mandate to go back and transform things.
So if your party does come out top in Belfast and you solidify your support south of the border as well, say, for example, Sinn Féin leads the next Dublin government, no doubt the debate over unification will be very much turbocharged in that instance. Do you think the question of unity, a border poll, will that be central to any administration that you lead?
Well, I mean, I'm a Republican. I want to unite the country, and it's something that I will always make the case for. And that's not going to change whether we are leading a government or part of a government. It'll always be our ask. And I don't see any contradiction, actually, in working the Assembly, working with the other parties, delivering in the Northern administration, but at the same time articulating our view for something better, because now is the time for us to have a very mature and a reasoned and a rational debate about the future of the island. And I think if you look at the fact that we have two health services that are under huge pressure and failing the public, you have the recent pandemic that we're still living through, the fact that we needed an all-island approach to that, there's much, much to be done. And I think there's much to be achieved, actually, in terms of working together collaboratively across the island. So I'll continue to make that case today.
But there's a difference between working collaboratively across the island and having a border poll, isn't there?
Well, we're entitled to have a border poll under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. That's at the heart of the peace agreement, that the people, whenever they decide that there'll be constitutional change, then it has to happen. So that's what I work for. I mean, there's no contradiction. You can do more than one thing at a time. You can work every day with all the other parties to make politics work, to show that change is possible, to deliver for workers and families who are struggling through the cost of living crisis, to deal with all the other issues that we deal with every day in government.
Okay.
And alongside that work, we can also plan and have that mature conversation around what could be better for us all, actually, for all the people who share this island.
Because the political charge from the opposition parties in the north, and I'm sure you're aware of this, is that your priority is the border poll. This is what you're looking at. You see the opportunity and the possibility of Sinn Féin being the largest party. And with that, you see the opportunity of pushing that agenda. So we had the DUP's Gordon Lyons, for example, saying that your launch this week, your election launch, demonstrated your priority lies in holding a border poll rather than helping families or rebuilding Northern Ireland's economy. We had Ulster Unionist leader Doug Beattie. He said yesterday the constitutional questions should be set aside in order to concentrate on the issues affecting the daily lives of our people who live here and work here or visit here. Would you agree with that, that the priority for Sinn Féin and indeed all other parties in the North should be on the cost of living and helping people survive the various challenges that people are facing in Northern Ireland now?
And of course, none of us are one-dimensional. So we can do all of those things. We can work together. We can prioritise trying to get the public through the cost of living crisis. We can support workers and families. We can transform our economy. We can work at fixing our health service. We can do all these things at the same time as having our conversation around the future. You know, it's in the hands of the public. It's in the hands of the people. And the one thing that's quite remarkable, I believe, of late is the fact that the conversation in Irish Unity is well underway across this island and beyond, and people are far ahead of political leaders. So of course those leaders of unionism are going to say those things.
Or is Sinn Féin far ahead on the people? Because there was a Belfast Telegraph poll, the most recent one, showing that unification in terms of the principal issues of concerns to voters in Northern Ireland, unification with Ireland was 17%. Cost of living was 60%.
Well, of course, everybody's worried about the cost of living today. That is the top of everybody's thoughts, because people are worried about how they're going to heat their homes and put food on their tables.
All right, so you're saying you can do lots of things at the same time. The DUP says that they've a 5-point plan to build a better future for Northern Ireland. The SDLP is going to launch a 6-point action plan to tackle the cost of living. What is your plan to help alleviate the pressure on people in Northern Ireland?
Well, firstly, let me say this. The DUP walked away from the executive. So the first thing we could do to help people right now would be to have a functioning executive that actually delivers on the issues that actually matter to people, tackling the things that we've just discussed in terms of the cost of living crisis or the crisis in terms of waiting lists in our hospitals. So we need a functioning government in which to do that. And we have, over the course of the last 2 years, the Sinn Féin ministers have delivered considerably for the public in terms of trying to support people.
But what's your plan
Conor
now?
Conor Murphy himself, as the finance minister, our plan will be to get back in to the executive day one after the election is done. The public will have their say. We will turn up on the very next day. And at this point in time, if we are returned as the largest party, of course, we take nothing for granted. But if we are, we work hard at it over the next 5 weeks. And if the public return us, we will turn up on day one. And those leaders that you've just referred
Sorry, Michelle,
to,
I'm not hearing a lot of detail there, though. Like I said, the DUP has their plan. The SDLP is launching their plan, 5 points and 6 points, depending on which party. What's your plan?
We have very big plans for what we're going to do. So we will turn up on day one. We will work with others to develop a programme for government.
And do what,
we
though,
have, Conor,
when you turn up? What do you do?
Yes. So first, we need to agree a programme for government. Then we're going to allocate funding. Conor Murphy has almost £350 million that he wants to spend right now. He's the finance minister. He wants to spend right now on the public to get us through this cost of living crisis. But we have no executive because the DUP have walked away. So what we'll be doing is prioritising transforming our health service, supporting healthcare workers, tackling our waiting lists, making sure we get through the cost of living.
Will you be revealing more detail about how you plan to do all that over the next couple of weeks?
Of course we will. That's part of the election campaign. We'll be launching our manifesto. We'll be making all of our commitments, of which there are many. But I think what the public want and what this election is about, it's about the future. It's about delivering real change. It's about making politics work. It's about supporting workers and families through the cost of living crisis. It's about transforming our health service. It's about fixing our education service. It's about all of us who want to work together to make the Assembly and
all right. And speaking of working together, and finally, we're told that the UK government is considering giving consideration to an actual joint First Minister role. We know this is a big problem for voters on either side. If you want to put it like that, polling shows 64% of unionists, 62% of nationalist voters say it's very important to them that a party from their community emerges as the largest. Would the fix fix here to be to have a joint First Minister role?
So it would be for the people to decide, and only the people who decide who becomes First Minister, and that's in line with the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. And whenever I hear unionist leaders speak about the fact that they may have difficulty nominating a Deputy First Minister to a Sinn Féin First Minister, what that smacks of is unionism only doing democracy on their terms. The facts are that the balance of power at Stormont has shifted irreversibly. And, okay, you know, I will be there to work with others because that's what we need to do. Mandatory coalition.
No joint First Minister role? That's not something that you would consider or entertain?
No.
No, all right.
And as a matter of fact, actually, Martin McGuinness was the first person back in 2015 who suggested that the title would be changed, and unionists rejected that proposal out of hand. So it's not lost on anyone that this issue has only resurfaced whenever there's the potential for a nationalist or a Republican First Minister.
Michelle O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us. That's Michelle O'Neill, Vice President of Sinn Féin.